ladies and gentlemen, to Ben and Doc Show, episode 11. Very excited because I am recording the same intro on the same day that I recorded the intro for episode 10. This is the closest I will ever get to actual time travel, other than moving forward 1 second at a time, as per the usual. This week's episode is about Army stories. We have a special guest, John, whose last name totally escapes me. We'll probably add it later, or it'll be mentioned in the podcast, I'm not sure. But John recently got out of being infantry in the Army, and he has some stories that will fucking blow your mind. They're fucking awesome. And I don't usually swear this much in the intro, but it is a special occasion because these are some crazy fucking stories. Joining me at this very special moment is the very lovely Caitlin Johnstone.
I was also here about 5 minutes ago when we recorded the first introduction for episode 10.
Which makes us probably the first ever time traveling couple.
Oh my god. No, wait, there was that movie though. About Time.
Oh yes, About Time. But only one person time travels in that one. Oh, I was thinking Back to the Future, because who knows if Doc and Marty were really having a thing.
But I know there's that graphic novel Sex Criminals.
I have not read that yet.
Anywhere but there.
You're like, but I need to roll all these cabinets to find Tim. So I can eventually make a scope somehow.
I grab everything.
Positive and negative, literally, which means I have freedom.
That's the problem. It's like,
I want you to check out Ben's show.
He's the drummer for King's Cat.
He's going to be playing a show at the High Dive.
I can't get a piece. What you doing?
It's going to be a really, really good show. We've both seen him play live.
When
is the show that you're playing?
Well, I haven't played that game forever, but after I learned about 70 hours into it, I've got my money's worth.
Octagonal.
That's the problem. Yes. I haven't beaten one since Fallout 2.
That's like two squares.
Yeah. That I keep person cannot be trusted. By everything that I get to the same point. You've been playing for like 80 hours.
You can also follow me at
Doc Marlowe. Giant RPGs, if you, the moment...
Maybe I should find a mission.
No, I don't.
At least I do. I actually feel like...
It's a daily struggle. You have to quit drinking.
Story arc, good. It doesn't matter if any other
celebrating the invention of the burrito.
Let's change the subject, since Ben's not... he can't really provide to...
You can follow me on Twitter, at Doc Marlowe. And you can follow my co-host and one of my best friends, Ben Still, at Benny Stills 13. I think I got it wrong.
John, was it today? Was today the first day you're home free, or was it yesterday?
Technically it was Friday, but it's kind of official yesterday.
Okay. John's out of the Army.
John's out. Because nothing in the Army is simple, so they gotta make it like...
Didn't get the bug.
No,
you did all that clapping, and it's still...
I think I got it. All right, Jackie Chan would be so disappointed. So, the unit. So, is your time in the Army a lot like the show The Unit?
I've never seen the show
The Unit. It's a lot like Gossip Girl.
Gotcha. So, are you the Gossip Girl?
Oh my god!
I've never seen that show. Is it any good?
I've never seen it.
All right, let's go watch Gossip Girl and just check it out.
Yeah, it's just a funny reference because everyone's like, oh, that's for women.
All right, hold on. And we're back. What? Great show, guys.
I didn't like it.
Gossip Girl? Like, I thought it was fantastic.
They just sat around playing Fallout. I didn't get it.
turns out the Gossip Girl was a boy the whole time. Very Crying Game kind of reference, though.
It was all on a snow globe.
But yeah, no, dude, congrats on getting out of the Army. I have a buddy of mine who's currently in the Navy, and he's on, like, in submarines, and that's where he spends all of his time, and he's just kind of waiting for the day to be done with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Sounds about right.
I feel for him.
I mean, I before John got shipped off to Iraq, which he told me you were going to, like, what, Pakistan?
Kuwait.
You told me you're going to Kuwait, which is like, everyone's like, oh, who'll be fine? It's basically like a vacation for Army people. There's really nothing going on in there. And then I think, what, a year and a half later, you said it was Iraq? And I was like, you son of a bitch!
You were supposed to be in Kuwait!
You're like, I didn't want my mom to know, and I thought you might tell her. I'm like, why the fuck would I tell your mom?
No, because with my mother, woo!
So you essentially started your whole tour with a lie, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought Kuwait was liberated a while ago, thanks to that movie Three Kings, where I get all my geographical knowledge.
That was a confusing movie.
I'll tell you what, though, Kuwait is not a vacation spot. That place is a shithole.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean, like, I want to go vacation in Kuwait, but as far as,
comparatively,
like,
to Iraq, yeah. I think it would be a little bit better.
It's more... Actually,
Kuwait was hotter. Kuwait was hotter? Mm-hmm. How many more IEDs did Iraq have? Probably a lot more.
Actual IEDs? Iraq had a lot more. IED threats? Actual, like, when everyone was freaking out, like, oh my god, there's IEDs here. Yeah. Actually, that happened way more in Kuwait than Iraq. Oh, Iraq, wow. It was more we'd just be driving down the road and be like, you know.
And just, oh shit, there's an IED.
Yeah. When
Dan's missing his legs. Oh fuck, we found one.
I mean, I guess part of it, though, is like, Iraq, it's expected. Kuwait, it's not. Because, like you said, we liberated it a long time ago, you know? And so it's like, when they get these reports, you know, the good old anonymous report.
Yeah.
You know, everyone starts freaking out, and they go out there, and it's like a trash bag on the side of the road.
Yeah. So how much, how long were you in the Middle East?
I was there, it was about 8 months.
8 months. Mm-hmm. Is that in total, or is that like 8 months at a time? Like how, like what's the time frame here? When'd you leave?
It's both in total and in one trip. I only did one.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Just kidding. So what's your situation?
Did you fuck camels over there?
No comment. Although I do hate camels. That thing spit.
Yeah.
And bite.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah. No, well, because I remember when you told me you were getting shipped off, I was like, well, I might as well, like, I went... He was in Fort Hood at the time in Texas, and I went for like 5 days.
Yeah,
and stayed on the base, which is not allowed. Yeah. But I was like, "Well, I'm not gonna rent a car." And I was 20. So this was 4 years ago.
Yeah,
I was like, I was 20 at the time. I'm like, I can't rent a car. I don't know where a hotel room is, and I also don't have any money to pay for a hotel room. So I was like, I just stayed with John on the down low for like 5 days.
Yeah.
It was like, if anybody comes in here, just, I don't even know what to do. Like, I told nobody to go into my room for 5 days.
Well, that's where, I don't know where I've heard this story. I want to say it's a story that I heard from my grandfather when he was in the Army. And the fact that when they're on base, They went into town at some point, and they met a homeless person they thought was really cool.
Uh-huh.
And since the guy was homeless, they brought him back to the base and gave him a place to stay. And so he's just sleeping in the bunks with these guys, and they wake up in the morning, the drill sergeant or whoever's coming in, he's yelling at everybody and doing all this, line up, doing all this. And then the homeless guy gets in line and lines up, he's walking through, and he's like, who the fuck are you?
Oh, man.
That's funny.
So, any cool stories like that, or is it all just misery and hotness?
I mean, there's a couple good barrack stories. Let's see, one of my favorites is, it was actually the day I got my stripes. So I became a sergeant, and they decided they were going to, quote-unquote, do me the favor and put me on 24-hour duty, which is basically, I sit at this desk, and every so often I gotta go patrol the barracks and make sure privates aren't being shitheads like they always are.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm out there checking it, and how it worked was, it was a three-story building for the barracks, and it had I don't know, it was pretty, like, these big, like, U's, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, I'm walking out there, and I'm out in the courtyard, and I look up, and there's this huge group up on the third floor. Mm-hmm. And it's as close as you could get on the little balcony, because it wasn't very big. Mm-hmm. Of what looked like a ring forming around, like, a fight group.
Keep going.
Which I'm like, you know, like, fuck, like, come on, man, like, come on, like, the first night I'm on this shit. Well, I go running on up there, and there's two guys. One of them has a K-bar, which is about a 7-inch blade on the knife. The other one has a broken beer bottle, and these guys are about to go at it. And, which I just did not want to deal with. Like, it's my first night up, like, having my stripes. Like, it's the last thing I want to do.
All right, no, I just love the idea that you're actually treating this as more of, like, an annoyance. It's like, I'm hearing of, like, a legitimate fight club, and this is terrifying, and then you're just like, ah, fuck, Joss, another one?
God.
All right, I'll make a lot of this, like, early in this troop. Guys, what are you doing?
I'll explain why it's not that surprising after the story is done. I get up there, and I start yelling, and, you know, we have this thing called the knife hand, which is because we're not allowed to point at people. Congress has decided that that is demeaning to soldiers.
Gotcha.
So we have to have all of our fingers together when we point at people. It's stupid, but whatever. So I'm up there just yelling, throwing the knife hand around. Just I got lucky. Enough of them were brand new privates, still terrified of any NCO. They all hopped to and helped me out. Well, I found out when I was talking to one of them, the whole reason this fight was going down is one of them said that Goku could beat the shit out of Superman. And the other one was like, nah, bro, breaks the bottle. I was like, let's fucking go. I'm like,
wow.
That's the whole reason this thing was about to go down.
Oh my god.
Well, so like, these people protect our country.
Yeah, and we're just, this is all infantry guys. These are all the guys who are like, you know, gunshots happen, we run towards it. We're the only assholes who think it's a good idea to run towards the bullets.
Yeah.
And, yeah, well, that's what this whole thing was about. And so I'm yelling out there, get them all to go to their rooms, you know, and I'm like, hey, listen, I don't give a damn if you go to bed, just separate. Like, you and you go to two different places, get out of sight, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, like, 2-3 hours go by, I come by, and there's that whole group is back up there, and I'm like, fuck, so I go running up there, and turn out, like, no, like, now they're having a whole hug session, you know, apologizing, like, man, I'm so sorry, like, love you, bro, like, just go to bed, fuck, man, you guys are way too drunk.
Jesus Christ.
But, so, the reason why I'm not a whole surprised of this is when I came in the army, it's what a lot of us call the good old army.
Mm-hmm.
You hear, if you talk to a lot of people in now, especially those with rank on them, they always talk about, like, man, like, you know, it's not like it used to be, and everyone always says that. But it's especially true nowadays. Over the past 5 years, there's been huge changes in everything. And how, I guess, all the public relation things, you're not really allowed to, you're not really supposed to yell at people, not supposed to curse at them, etc. Well, like, when I came in, every weekend was basically Fight Club in the barracks. And it was, and how they had it all separated, and it was just like, you know, you, all the infantry was over here, all the tankers, the, just as it sounds, the people who
drive
tanks and shoot tanks
are
over there. All the, we call them, well, we include tankers in this, but pogues. Anyone not infantry, we decide we're better than them. Because it's true. But, they, you know, it's all segregated, basically, by what unit you're in. Like, so it's by what job you're in. Well, it'd be like every Friday. You know, we'd get off work, and we'd all get all liquored up, and then there'd be a bunch of us, like a whole platoon, or sometimes a company, or hell, sometimes two companies. You know, we'd just all get together, and we'd be like, hey, like, let's say it was my company, our infantry company, we'd be like, hey, you know that other infantry company? They're a bunch of bitches. Let's go kick their ass. And we'd go, and it would be like a whole, like, 300 thing in the barracks, like, just privates going at it. And as long as, you know, no one was a little bitch about it, you were good. And when you showed up on Monday morning, and you had, you know, someone high-ranking, like, what the fuck happened to you? Because, you know, you're all split-lip, black-eyed, you know, it was always the same. I fell down the stairs. That was the excuse. Or, you know, sometimes all the infantry guys, didn't matter what company you're in, all of us would get together and be like, man, fuck those tankers. And we'd go try to fuck them all up. That's just how it was. Like, it was just a giant fight club every Friday, Saturday, and shit. I mean, sometimes it'd be a Monday night and people would be all liquored up. Be like, hey, we want to go fight. And be like, well, quick, hey, let me chug this bottle real quick and I'll join you. That's just how it was.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's like, when I tell the story about, like, the fight that almost happened, that's why, for me, it's more of an annoyance. It's more of just like, God damn it, like, not on my night, like, come on!
Yeah. And that's where, I mean, for me, the way I see it, it's like, I have two different mindsets about this, of hearing about this, where it's like, fuck, it's like, you guys are all on the same team, you're all serving your country, you're all doing this, why can't you do that? The other one is like, no, no, that's good. If you guys are going to be fighting for our country, I want you to be just, like, jacked up on just, like, ignorance and aggression, ready to take down anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, it makes sense. I mean, that's fucking crazy. Mainly because I've never been in a fight in my life. Just to hear that, oh, it's like, yeah, when you go in the army, like, that's all it is. It's just fighting. That's, yeah, I mean, that's what you're trained for, and that's what you do with the other people that you serve with, is just fight.
I mean, because it used to be, like, for example, when I first got in, and when I first got my stripes, and when I first got to have my own squad and everything, if you had a problem with somebody, as long as they weren't really high ranking, you guys would go to the wood line, out of sight, out of mind, and handle your problem. Mm-hmm. As soon as you walked out of the woods, you guys were good.
Now, was there ever, like, a reoccurring problem with certain people where it's like they just kept on fighting and kept on fighting and just it never resolved? Just one guy's pissed that the other guy beat him, and then they go back to it, and then the other guy beats the other guy, and they're still pissed?
I mean, of course.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a flawless system.
No, but, I mean, it worked out, I'd say, 90% of the problems.
All right, let's
go. Because, I mean, you know, sometimes you're a private, and, you know, a lot of privates come in very hot-headed. I did. Oh. I had a mouth on me. I couldn't shut up. That was my problem. Mm-hmm. I'm very much a smartass. Mm-hmm. And so, got me in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest about that right in front. You know, yeah. You have someone who's been in for 5 years and is in charge of me, and he says something, and I'm like, oh, you know, great idea. And I'm nuts. You know, yeah, of course I'm going to get scuffed up. Oh, like, yeah. How it works. Okay. But eventually, you know, you kind of get that rage building in you, and that it just, it's a disease, and you need to get it out.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so, what do you do? Like, you know, hey, sir, can I talk to you in the woods? And most would be like, hey, give me an hour. I got something I got to be at. They'd go do their thing. They'd come back. They'd be like, let's go. And it'd be just you two. You guys would go settle it. Walk out of the wood line. Good.
Just
it's
figure
dead.
It out.
It's dead.
Wow.
If you still got issues, then you, I mean, there's usually like a two week grace period.
You schedule an appointment for next week, and then you just come back. Yeah.
Try it one more time. Yeah, it was just like a whole thing. Like,
it's just a very intense team building exercise.
Yeah, it's like, nah, like, you guys just went out of yesterday. Like, calm the fuck down. Like, come back next week. And but it worked.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty fucking crazy. I mean, it's weirdly cool. Like that, it's just this weird kind of internal system of just solving all this aggression. Do you guys have any other things that you guys do for stress relief? Because I imagine this is very high stress kind of stuff that you're doing. So
I mean, if.
Not a Fort Hood.
I would say, like, the pent-up sexual tension and the fact that you can't really come and go as you please, right? Yeah. I don't know what life is like, so you're
going
to have to explain to me.
Okay, when you, after you get out of basic training, which is a little different for the infantry than most people, because most people, they leave basic training and they go to this other training that actually teaches them their job, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit more loosey-goosey at that point, but it's not, like, full-on your normal soldier life.
Yeah.
With the infantry, we go to basic, and then we just have a really long basic, and they teach us everything in that. Like, so instead of 9 weeks, we do 14 weeks, and it's just straight. And then we go to our unit. Mm-hmm. Well, once you get over to your unit, it's, if you're not at work, you're free, basically. Right. I mean, of course, they have, you know, all the regulations, which you can't do. You know, yeah. You can't go, you know, start snorting cocaine or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like,
can't you do that anywhere nowadays? It's just they're taking our cocaine. So.
But, like, you know, you can leave the base if you want. Well, I mean, there's always, I guess, except. Mm-hmm. You know, they could always be like, oh, there's this happening, you can't leave the base. Or, mm-hmm. hey, we're on this job. Like, on Fort Hood for a while, we were part of the Crisis Reaction Battalion.
Gotcha.
Is what it was called. Because basically Fort Hood gets shot up or blown up or attempted blown up all the fucking time. And so there's always a full battalion, which is a good 1,500, 2,000 people, mm-hmm. that's on this crisis reaction thing. And it's basically they have a special badge so they can get in the gate even when it's sealed. And if something goes down, they're supposed to come in, suit up like they're in Iraq, and go handle it.
Gotcha.
They basically just go assist the MPs.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on that, they have, like, you can't drink, you have to be within 30 minutes of the base, or stupid stuff like that. But for the most part, it's if you're not at work.
Just messing with these audio levels because it just keeps on messing around with me and doing all this, trying to make it sound good. We did an episode and it sounded really choppy, according to Ben, so I'm trying to avoid bad audio.
Yeah.
It's like, I had a really good fucking microphone, but it broke down, but obviously my problems don't compare to other things that you've maybe had to deal with. So, you were saying about this crisis control where you potentially have to suit up and defend your country.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, like, unless you're on something crazy like that, it's pretty much normal life. If you're at work, you're at work. And when you're off work, you're off work. You can do whatever you want. You can come and go out of the barracks as you want. There's way more rules on what you can do in the barracks. Like, there's visitation hours, like, when people are supposed to be there, which we totally broke when you stayed in my room.
No!
They have, like, if you bring a female into the barracks, you're supposed to check her in. Like, ridiculous crap like that. I mean, but for the most part,
it's like, oh yeah, we're about to get down and dirty. Please sign this. Just fill this out, and we'll submit it, and then you'll be able to come in.
Yeah,
Can I?
But I mean, for the most part, it's
one guy looks her up and down. Nah, dude, it's your own good.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you can do better. You can do better.
Hey, try again. Sometimes some of these girls that these guys come bringing in, I wish I could have done that.
Yeah.
Because we have this term called a barracks rat. Mm-hmm. And you'll see him at every barracks I've ever been to. And you'll see her, or she'll come out of one room looking like she needs a shower. I'm going to say it that way. And she'll go right into another room. And maybe an hour later, she'll come out and go into another room. And so on and so forth. And sometimes these girls are there for weeks.
Wow.
Just kind of going room to room. And I don't know. To me, it's just like gross. It's just like, I'm going to catch something. You know, like,
catch some sex.
But like, it always happens. Like I said, every single barracks I've been in, I've seen at least one.
Interesting.
All right. I can see that.
Yeah. No, it makes sense if a girl wants to get laid.
I'm going
to
show you, Dad.
So what's another barrack story that you got for us? You got other girls? I mean, I don't need to put you on the spot or anything.
No, like, I mean,
and then Ben, you can ask questions too. I don't need to do this. All the work.
Well, you know. I'm waiting until we get to the Iraq part, because that's when the good stories are.
We could jump around, so.
Yeah. Go for it, fire away.
Fuck, Ben, you're the one who wanted to jump to Iraq. What's on your mind? What do you want to ask?
Oh, I mean, I've already heard a ton of these stories. I just know he's got a bunch of good Iraq stories, so why don't you just tell us a good Iraq story?
All right, so I guess, this one. I've been in country for about 3 days. Mm-hmm. And we go to do what's called a presence patrol, which is quite literally we go walk around, it just so everyone's like, oh crap, they're actually doing something. Like, that's entirely what it is.
Yeah.
And we ended up being really lucky. We did it in that area that day. I'll get to that. But we're walking down the road, and we get shot at from a big old apartment building. And first thing you do when you get shot at is, if you know where it's coming from, you shoot back. If you don't, you just get behind something. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Simple.
All
right.
Well, so we all, you know, kind of run behind in this little ditch thing next to the road. And, you know, the squad leader's sitting there who, this guy, I was just afraid, he's been in the Army too long. Mm-hmm. This guy's one of those crusty old sergeants who just been there too long, seen too much stuff, you
know? Jeremy Renner's character from the Hurt Locker. Just still keep on going. It's like, you should really be out of here by now.
Cereal. Why so many choices?
Well, so, you know, and he's sitting there barking around, you know, who saw it, who saw it, who saw it. And there's one guy, was the only one in the whole squad who saw who was shooting at. And this guy is, I think he was, I don't know, from Nebraska or one of them states. And really just corn-fed dude. Really big, like, not entirely bright. One of the most loyal, nicest guys around. Mm-hmm. But just slow. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there, and he's scared, like, just terrified of this sergeant, the squad leader.
Yeah.
Just terrified of him. Every time he talks to him, he just stutters, just can't get words out. And so he has this sergeant, you know, who's all hopped up, you know, because we're getting shot at, adrenaline starts going, you start getting all, like, crazy and stuff. Mm-hmm. We're sitting there yelling at him, because he's like, you know, I saw it. So the sergeant's, you know, yelling at him, you know, like, where'd it come from, you know, and he's, you know. And then he forgets which window it came from. Which is really important when it comes from an apartment building that big.
Yeah. Right.
So then it comes down
and, you know, bullets are coming out of this apartment building.
So then it's like, well, no, because that was the thing. They just, they had a, it's called an RPK. It's a machine gun.
Yeah. That's a big kind of heavy machine gun, isn't it? Or
I mean, I guess in like...
So that's Russian model, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to say this...
Call of Duty, paying off.
Yeah. This is going to sound weird, but like civilian terms, yes, that is a heavy machine gun.
Yeah.
Military terms, no.
No, yeah.
But like, because, I mean, it's a 7.62, it's a big round. Mm-hmm. Well, it was one of those, and they only did like one or two bursts. That was it. And then they ducked inside the building. So we don't know where they are. So when that happens, you get the unfortunate job of, well, now we gotta go through the whole fucking building.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Which was exhausting, to say the least. Normally, if you're gonna clear, like, an apartment complex, you're bringing a whole company, or at least a platoon. We had a squad. So, I mean, we were
So how many people is that?
Like, we had 11. A squad's usually like 9 to 12. So we had 11. And a platoon is like 40. A company, you're talking like 200.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 150 to 200. But, so normally, like I said, you're kind of supposed to have like those 200 dudes there to clear this whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, there's us. And we could call what's called a QRF, the Quick Reaction Force, the guys who, like, you get in contact and you're like, hey, you know, we're getting in contact, come help us out. But they're, like, an hour away. We're not going to sit there in a fucking ditch and wait for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, we start clearing this whole fucking apartment building. And it's just apartment by apartment by apartment. Which, room clearing is the most stressful thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the highest amount of casualties are taken. And it's just, you never know what's behind the door.
Yeah.
So it's just everything you're doing is just, your blood is pounding, you're just going, even if you're just, you're two rooms back, mm-hmm. you're still sitting there, pumped up, because there's nothing saying that, yeah, you know, you've gone down this hallway, but who's to say someone's not just going to come down the stairs behind you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very imperfect system, I guess. Well, we're going down this stupid apartment complex. We finally get up to, like, the fifth floor, and we finally found the one we're looking for. Which, for that one, I was actually the first dude in the room, which always sucks. You don't want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we go ahead and we bust in, and they had actually taken about two or three apartments and knocked down all the walls and to make one really big one.
Yeah.
And this is, I said, where we got lucky, because they were making these things called EFPs, which they take this copper, and they make it in a little bowl and stick an explosive charge behind it, and when it goes off, the copper melts and forms this projectile. Well, it'll go through 2.5 Abram tanks, which Abram tanks are the most heavily armored thing we have.
Jesus.
And if it goes through something like that that's airtight, it'll suck everything out of a hole about, I don't know, about like one of those, you know, $1 coins. It's quite disgusting. Unfortunately, I've seen it. But it will, because it just superheats everything inside and sucks it out that hole because of all the pressure.
This is just one of those times where science just really bums me out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get about 100, 150 meters of nothing of what used to be people, clothes, equipment, weapons, electronics, of just goo.
Mm-hmm.
They're very deadly. Well, we got really lucky because we knocked this place out.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, that was our third day there, so we didn't have to deal with it much. Because that was their main place for the area we were in, which was awesome.
So yeah. That was a big strike right there.
Yeah. What sucked about it, though, is just taking it. Because when they did it, it was all separated by hallways. And they had it in different rooms, basically, that they had kind of jerry-rigged up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we go down this hallway, and that RPK guy is back.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the end of the hallway. Which, if you have a hallway, you know, it's... And especially Iraq hallways are very small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... It's really claustrophobic being in buildings over there. Everything's smaller. The roofs are lower. Everything is narrower. All the rooms are smaller.
So when picturing this, I was picturing like a traditional kind of like American style,
Now I got to try and picture it of smaller and many, many, many more rooms because it's obviously way more compact.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, because we easily went through, I mean, a good probably 500 to 1,000 rooms when we cleared that place.
Fuck.
Damn.
And you did it just starting from the first floor going up?
Yep.
Good lord.
And, well, I know, like, and we actually got lucky, though, because, me and the guy next to me had the great idea for the jackass down the hallway with the RPK. They have this great lead-lined, old-ass refrigerator. Mm-hmm. We'll push it down the hallway in front of us. So we're sitting there behind it, just pushing it down the hallway, and everything's just, you know, ding, 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 off of it. Until you get close enough, chuck a grenade over the top, duck. Bam. Guy's down. Like, it's... I don't know. It's a very different style of thinking.
Sure.
When you get into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I
was going to say, that's literally something you would hear in a movie. Yeah. Like, I never thought that they would actually, like, use a refrigerator in order to... because I would see that in a movie, I'd be like, that's so Hollywood, but thank you for proving me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where we always call it the MacGyver aspect.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, MacGyver. And it's that comes in handy. I mean, because it's just... You're there. This is what you got. We walk down that hallway, we gonna die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually, because, like I said, I was the first one in the room. Mm-hmm. And so when I went in, guy lights it up, so, you know, I'm like, fuck, and jump forward. The guy behind me, who was already in, mm-hmm. you know, was like, fuck, and jump forward. So everyone else stayed outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're both in the room now. They're all outside the room, and we're like, well, fuck, what do we do now?
Sure.
And it was actually the only reason I thought of using the damn refrigerator in the first place is because when I jumped out of the way, I hit my head against it. Oh. And I was like, what the fuck is, you know, I'm just, because at that point you're just, I hate to use the phrase, but you're just all hopped up on Mountain Dew. You know, you're just, it's just, you know, anger, piss, and vinegar. And you're just like, ah, and it was just like, bam, and I was like, oh, motherfucker, and I punched it, because you're just stuck in a situation that's shitty.
You can't punch the RPK guy, so you gotta punch the refrigerator.
Yeah, and so, you know, I was like, ah, oh, I punched it, and I was like, fuck, like, what the fuck is this made of? And my buddy was like, yeah, they have lead refrigerators, man, like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, wait a second, and we just had that, like, moment where both of us are looking at each other, like, eye to eye, and we're like, oh, like... Pushed it out in there and got it done.
Dude, that's fucking cool. That's a good story. I like that.
Is that the same time where, like, you opened up the door and you got shotgunned?
That was...
Because you were clearing a room during that, too. I thought that's where the story was
Speaking
going.
Speaking of room clearing...
No, yeah. That was a different building.
Oh, okay.
And that was actually just a complex. Because if you're rich over there, you have a complex.
Oh, okay.
That was a complex. We were clearing that. We got an anonymous tip. That one of the thousands we got that was, I think, the only one that actually paid off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that one was open up the door. Because what happens is basically you line up, and there's four of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth guy runs up, does a quick check of the door, make sure there's no wires. Because right after the war began, the problem with these wars is they learn how we do things.
Mm-hmm.
And they learn, you know, hey, these jackasses are going to kick open the door. So then they start rigging the door, so as soon as you kick it, they blow up.
Mm-hmm.
So now the fourth guy has to run up, check the door, you know, make sure there's no wires or nothing we can see. There's only so much you can do to prevent, you know,
yeah.
But check it, and then he's like, okay, cool. And he kicks it, and as soon as he kicks it, first guy runs in.
And it was all like...
well, like...
That was the can of whoop-ass you were about to open up.
Mm-hmm. Well, for that one, I'm the first guy in, again, lowest ranking one normally gets that job.
How unfortunate.
You're expendable.
It was like,
you're the equivalent of cannon fodder.
I'm the Milhouse. But, well, door's like, boom, not even all the way open yet, and I'm starting to go in. Because the whole thing behind it in is the doorway is the biggest spot where you're going to die.
Yeah.
You want to get in and out of the way.
Yeah.
Well, so, door's not even open yet, I'm going in, and it's like, boom! And I got lucky, it hit my plate.
Gotcha.
I was going to say, you're still here talking to me.
Yeah.
So, you're not a ghost.
So, it's like, think. Boom, but the problem with it is...
He's been dead since 2011.
So, like, you know, it's like, boom, and it, when it hits, you know, it's still a shotgun from close range, so you still get all that force, yeah. And, you know, so it's like, well, the thing is with room clearing, when it comes to coming in the doorway, is we have the thing is if the guy trips, gets hit, whatever, you push him out of the way.
Yeah.
And you keep going.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so, you know, it's like, boom, and I kind of go backwards, and the guy behind me is just like... So I become the stepping stool for everyone behind me.
Oh, I hope he's not dead. I'm going to feel like a dick.
you wait till the whole room is clear, and then you check him.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what I just feel like. I'm like, oh, I'm stepping on a hopefully not dead body right now. Yeah. I remember that one. I was like, ooh. All right, now tell the how you got your scars.
Ooh.
All right. So,
I don't want to give anything away.
Is this the Joker origin story?
Yes. One of how I got these scars. One of them bunker rats.
That's it. Yeah, bunker rats. Yeah. Okay, believe it or not, there are those too.
Bear rats. Yeah.
But, well, so... This is much later. I started up in a little place called Mosul, which is way up north. I went out near Tashkent.
Cousin of Zul.
I didn't go into Taji, but I was near it. And then I went up to a place called Olma, which is right outside of Sadr City. Went in there. That was a lot of fun. That's a whole different story. But at this point, this is right at the end. Okay. We're on the border.
End of your tour, that is, right? So like 8 months?
End of the Iraq part.
Oh, end of the Iraq.
The unfortunate thing is we pulled out of Iraq, and then they're like, you got extended, you're staying in Kuwait. Yeah.
Okay.
So, it was bullshit. But, well, we're on the border, and our orders are strictly to hold. And, because I was there for when we closed Iraq. Mm-hmm. Actually, my platoon was the last one across the bridge.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
No one
will ever remember your name.
I know. No, it makes it better, too, is in the picture, my tall-ass squad leader's right in front of me.
Oh, fucking great.
And it was when I was all bandaged up and stuff, too. Like, it would have been an awesome picture, you know, like, clip that, show grandkids one day, like, hey, your grandpa's a badass, you know?
Yeah.
No, wasn't meant to be. But, well, so...
Instead, you'll have this podcast.
Well, so,
Grandpa, who are the two idiots with you? We don't talk about that much.
Well, so we're on the border, and we're getting mortared or rocketed every day.
Yeah.
And it's like clockwork. Like, you could almost set your watch to it. Mm-hmm. Well, and what made it worse is we weren't allowed to do anything about it. Because, mm-hmm. like, normally you get mortared, you're like, they're over there. Let's go fuck them up.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, we gotta hold here. Like,
yeah.
Gotta stay put.
Well, you told me, like, a story of you'd, like, be, like, in, like, the gun tower or whatever, and you'd see, like, some piece of shit pickup truck, and they'd be, like, firing, like, fucking idiots that don't know how to fire a gun. You're just like, oh, I can't do anything at all. Yeah. Like, you're just looking at them, like, just fuck these guys.
Yeah, it was the same white Toyota pickup truck every day, and they'd be sitting there, and you see it roll up with the mortar tubes and all the mortar rounds in the bed, and they'd go behind this little berm. And then, wow, we get mortared. And then they drive away, and they have red hot tubes, but no rounds. And then usually, as they're driving away, you get some jackass sitting there with an AK out the passenger window, like, bah, 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 like, and we're not allowed to do anything. Can't even shoot back at them.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But, well, so, we're sitting, and the problem is when you get mortared or rocketed or whatever, every single day like that, it gets to the point, especially, I guess, this is more of a problem for us infantry guys, where we have that thing where it's more common for us, I guess. We get to the point where it gets boring, mm-hmm. and it gets mundane.
I'm trying to read!
Yeah, I mean, like, and so, like, there was one day I was in the shower, and I just finished and was on my way back from the shower. Mm-hmm. And we start getting mortared. And when you start getting, we call it indirect fire, when you start getting that, you're supposed to, like, run into these little bunkers and... You're supposed to get accountability, make sure no one's dead, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Well, like, I was just in that mode, you know, like, just, like, I just got off tower guard. I'd been there for, like, 16 freaking hours because someone forgot to relieve me.
Oh, no.
And so, like, I'm just like, no, I'm not doing this today. Like, homie ain't about that life. And so it's like, I'm going back, and I'm going to bed. Like, you know, to pull the Eric Cartman, you know, like, screw you guys, I'm going home. Well, I keep walking, and luckily they made us, whether or not you're coming back from the shower or whatnot, you had to wear your body armor. Mm-hmm. Luckily they did, because I'm walking back, and that was the day they got their hands on some big stuff. It's the Russian equivalent of our artillery rounds, which ours is a 155, which is very big. If I was to stand up, the round itself, as in the thing that actually flies through the air, would be taller than my knee.
Jeez.
They're very big, and they're very good at blowing things up. Well, they got their hands on some of those. Well, here I am walking back all angry, you know, like, come on, right now.
Yeah.
Right now, I just want to go to bed. I just want to sleep. Like, screw you guys. I guess, screw you, Iraq. Nobody cares. Like, let's go ahead, get this over with.
I'll pay for higher gas prices.
And the worst thing about it, okay, this sounds bad, and it probably is bad, but, like, they never hit anybody.
Yeah.
Like, the only people that hit were Iraqi army, and we didn't care. And I mean that, because that sounds especially bad, but the reason why we never cared is because you never knew with Iraqi army. Mm-hmm. That guy's brother might be the same guy who was shooting at you this morning, and he's the one tipping him off on where we're going. Mm-hmm. You really don't know. And even still, half of them are assholes that are trying to steal from you the whole time you're there, mm-hmm. and then the other half are doing stuff like we have to bring them out on patrol, and they're sitting there, you know, accidentally firing their weapons, like, into the ground, so that everyone knows where we are. You know, and so it's like... And it could have been an accident, but at the same time, it could not have been. And so it's all those things that are like, fuck them.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, because you never know. Like, one of the bases I was in, Iraqi army had charge of half of it, and somebody over there let about 12 knuckleheads in and started shooting up the place.
Jeez.
So, I mean, like I said, Iraqi army were like, fuck them. So, I mean, like, they never hit any Americans. They never hit any contractors. They never hit anyone but Iraqi army. So... We didn't care. Mm-hmm. Because they wouldn't let us do anything about it. If we were able to do anything about it, we would care. But we weren't allowed to shoot back. We weren't allowed to go get them. So we're just like, fuck it. Well, that was the day they hit us. And that round landed. It was, I don't know exactly how close it was to me. Mm-hmm. But I know it hit close enough that I was knocked off my feet and hit this thing we call a T-barrier. Picture, you know, like those Jersey barriers on the side of the freeway?
Oh, yeah.
Picture one of those, but like 9 feet tall.
Oh,
they're made purely so if mortars and stuff start coming in, the shrapnel doesn't go everywhere.
Gotcha.
Well, got blasted off my feet. It sliced strap on my helmet, mm-hmm. which caused that to come partially off. And so when I hit the T-barrier, I got knocked out. Mm-hmm. And then I got peppered with shrapnel all the way down my front, which the plate took all that. And then I got both shoulders and right next to my dick. which then I come to, because I'm out cold. I have no idea how long I was there. It couldn't have been too long, because there was still a round or two going off, and these attacks normally were like 5 to 10 minutes tops. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm getting dragged away by this big old jacked black dude. Mm-hmm. And when you get knocked out good like that, you know, you have no idea where you are when you wake up.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. And so I wake up, and I just see this huge, I mean, huge. This guy could have played the Hulk. Like, this guy was huge. Uh-huh. Just dragging my ass away. Uh-huh. You know, my mind, I'm like, no, like, I'm not getting raped today.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, no, Big Bubba. Like, so I'm trying to fight him off. But by fight him off, I mean, I'm still completely out of it. And so, you know, it's kind of like a one-year-old swatting at something.
I was going to say, you know, like, what are you going to do, drool on him at this point?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like no. He's sitting there pulling away, you know, it's like, stop it. Stop.
No.
Well, so...
I thought you were going to say, Jesus, you are black.
Yeah. And you're yoked.
Well, you don't miss leg day. Never.
Well, this guy has had just about enough of my shit. Because, mm-hmm. you know, because he's sitting there the whole time, I'm, like, swatting at his arm. He's like, hey, like, knock it the fuck off, man. You know, knock it the fuck off, man. I can't hear a thing. You know, I got blood coming from both ears. Like, I can't hear a thing.
You just got your bell rung really hard, too, so.
And so, well, so finally, he's really tired of my shit. And so he throws me down, steps over me, grabs me by the front of my armor, which is, like, right about your neck, like, mm-hmm. right where that little dimple thing is.
Yeah.
grabs that, lifts me up, slugs me in the face. Oh. And I said, this guy is yoked. Like, it hurt like a bitch. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, it was one of those moments where I almost passed back out.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, and then just was like, you gonna knock it the fuck off now? And I was like,
you don't know what hit
him. I guess you don't rate me. Just don't hit me anymore.
You don't know what hit harder, the shell or his fist.
Yeah. And so he just grabs me and drags me off again. And then we get over to this little shit-ass tent they had set up for the medics, which was really jacked up. The medics should have the best shit.
Yeah. Right.
And really, because if they're not treating anyone, you want them to be happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they are treating people, they need to have nice shit. Like, really, end of the day. Like, they should have the nicest shit around. But they had this piece of shit little tent. Well, he drags me in there and leans me up against something. Is like, Doc, got one for you. And leaves.
Well, and I'm like, what am I doing in Iraq? I shouldn't be here. It's just a name, not a title. Alright, so you're saying.
Well, so I'm leaned up against this. And I'm propped up, so it's like I'm sitting down. Right, just feet out in front of me, just back me up against this thing. And like I said, I'm still kind of coming to, still trying to figure out my bearings. And it was actually my medic. He came up to me. Mm-hmm. The best medic I've ever had in my life. Little short guy from Boston.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Thick Boston accent.
He's like, hey, what's your major, dude?
And this guy, and the best thing about him is he had a no-bullshit way of going about things. Because there's always people who try to, you know, say...
That's why I say it sounds awesome. It's just because the guy from Boston, it's like, he wants to know all the information right away. Come on, what you doing? What you doing, dude? Yeah.
And, like, with him, you know, there's always people that try to say they're hurt, but they're not, just because they're trying to, like, get out of doing work.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's one of those ones, he doesn't take that. You know? He'd be like, no, get the fuck away from me. You know, like come on, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Yeah.
And, this guy comes up to me. And, like, so I'm sitting there, and I'm just... You know, my head's kind of down, because I still, like, he kind of placed the helmet back on my head. Mm-hmm. I can't be strapped down anymore, but it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're heavy.
Yeah.
And so my head's kind of down, and I'm looking down, and he's coming up to me and, you know, like, trying to get my attention. Well, the reason he can't is because I look down, and there's this huge blood mark on my pants.
Yeah.
And with shrapnel sticking out of the pants.
Mm-hmm.
Right about where my dick is. And so, like, I'm just sitting there, mouth open, staring at my junk. You know? And the back of my... I can't tell you how many times, you know, I was like, I will go to church every goddamn Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, I will, like, 50% of everything I make rest of my life, just let it be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man.
You know, just like, God damn it. Like, no! Take an arm. And I'm sitting there just, like, and my brain is not ready to process what's happening yet. You know, I'm just staring there, open mouth, and my doc is sitting there, and he's slapping me in the face and everything, and he's starting to check me out, because I have big old pieces of shrapnel sticking out of this shoulder, the right shoulder. I got a smaller one sticking out of the left, like, and he's seeing those, and he's seeing all the blood on those, and my front is all peppered with all this big-ass shrapnel and everything. I guess the ones sticking out of my leg were the smallest of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, could have fooled me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm, you know, and he's sitting there, like, slapping me around, like, hey, man, you know, what's up? And so he finally, like, looks where I'm looking.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, like, kind of looks back up at me.
Uh-huh.
And then just rips open my pants, like, right at the crotch. Shoves his hand in there, feels everything up, and it's like, it's all there. And I remember, that is the most, like, the greatest feeling of relief I've ever had in my entire life. And I remember,
just having the medic's hands on your balls.
I just see you, like, having, like, mental brain damage and everything. She'd be like, yeah, John was a different man back then, now he just says one thing.
It's all there. So at that point, I remember, like, I just leaned my head back and just gave a really big sigh. I was like, all right, Doc, do what you need to do. Oh, man.
All right, whatever you want, man. I'm good to go now.
Whew. Which is actually, like, okay, Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it till we had pulled out and we were in Kuwait. Well, there's a scene almost exactly like that with, I think the character's name is Lipton. He's the guy who, like, becomes their first sergeant, and then later they make him a lieutenant.
Yeah.
Where something very, like, almost exactly like that happens. Mm-hmm. And it was once that happened at Band of Brothers, I remember I was sitting there watching it, and I was just like, I have formed a connection with that character deeper than most people I meet.
Wait, I have an actual brother in real life, but I relate to this fictional character way closer.
We are brothers.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Dude, that's intense.
Yeah, I remember that one. Like,
well, these stories are fucking awesome. Can we just keep going? Like, I don't want to I just want to keep on going on these stories just because these are fucking insane.
How much time do we have? Because I want to make sure you have time for the one I was joking being like, this, like, you said all these stories and then the scariest story or whatever. But I want to save that for the last one.
All right, because... And I have no problem in doing, like, because we got, like, 10 minutes.
Okay.
So, we probably have time for, like, 2 stories, depending on how long you are.
Okay.
But even if we do, like, Army Stories Part 2, I'd be super into that. Sure. Come back to it. It's like, whatever we don't touch, we can save for another episode. Like, right. You're back now. We have time.
Well, he's leaving on Saturday.
Oh, fuck
going
you.
Back to Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's going back to Virginia. All
right, then we'll touch on what we have now.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Tell a story you've wanted to tell that you have in mind, just like either Iraq, barracks, or whatever, and then there's the one I want you to tell. I want you to save it for last, though. All
right.
Because out of all the stories he's told so far, this still freaks me out the most. This is the last story he's going to tell.
All right.
So, this is a barracks story. At the time, I was a squad leader. So I'm in charge. I was in charge of 10 people at the time.
And that's before getting your stripes and being sergeant.
Well, this is after.
Oh, it's after even. Okay, so squad leader's higher than being sergeant. Or is it both?
Actually, normally as a squad leader, you're a staff sergeant. But I was just...
Oh, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. I mean, without sounding too pompous, I was shit hot. So I was pulling a job better than what I was.
Gotcha.
He had a dick. So
Are you from the Valley at all? Like Snoqualmie Valley?
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. No, people who leave the Valley usually do that. So, yeah. I'm the same way. It's like, granted, my stuff is way less intense, but yeah, I know.
We met in preschool.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Preschool buddies.
Yeah. No, I get it.
And I'm sitting there, and it's a Saturday night, and I'm in my barracks room. I have a lady friend there, and we're just kind of chilling.
Named Garrett.
We're just kind of chilling, watching a movie as kind of a, I guess, recuperate time.
It was the Footloose remake.
Solid. Favorite. Still good.
Yeah. Holds up.
Yeah.
My phone is going off like crazy, right? Which is normally bad. And so I'm sitting there like, I don't want to answer it. And it just keeps going off. So finally I'm like, fuck it. All right. I pick up my phone, and it's one of my guys. One of my little privates. And, he's sending me all these texts, like, Sergeant, I really need your help. Like, I really need your help, Sergeant. Like, I need you right now, Sergeant. Like, I really need you. So finally, I text him back. I'm like, well, I try calling him. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, like, doesn't even get a full ring in before, you know, goes to voicemail. And then I almost immediately get a text from him. He's like, I can't talk. He's like, but, he's like, I really need your help, Sergeant. Like, all right, like, what do you need? You know, like, what do you need, man? You're like, what is up? You know, and right now, I'm, like, worried. Mm-hmm. You know, like, man, like, one of my guys is out there. Did he get the shit beat out of him? Like, is he getting robbed? Like, what, you know, like, I don't know. It was, like, you know, ISIS is a threat. You know, like, are they kidnapping him? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it was before ISIS, but whatever. But, like, you know, I'm like, okay, it's like, what's up? You know? And he's like, this chick won't leave. I'm like, what? And he's like, I brought this chick over this morning. He's like, you know, we already smashed. He's like, and I can't get her to leave. And I'm like, okay, this is like 10 o'clock at night. All right.
Uh-huh. Is that early or late for you guys?
Pretty early. On a weekend, pretty early.
On a weekend, okay.
Yeah.
During the work week, I was normally up at like 4:30. So, I mean, work week, that's late.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
But like, weekend, nah.
Oh, yeah, it's fair, yeah.
Well, so...
Working off of...
Sorry. Well, so I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, like, tell her to go. Like, you know, what the fuck's wrong with you? You know, grab your nuts, you know, sack up, you know, tell her to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, I'm trying. Like, I can't get her to go. I can't get her to go. And I'm like, all right, like, what do you want me to do about it, bub? You know? And he's like, you know, he's like, can you come do, like, a room inspection? You know, and basically, you know, start yelling and stuff, get her to leave. Alright, you know, So I go, and of course, you know, that means I need to go get in uniform, I have to shave, which on a Saturday is a fucking sin if I'm not working.
Yeah.
Because, you know, having to be completely baby-faced every day, it's a sin every time I need to fucking shave. And so, you know, get completely baby-faced, like, put on the uniform, everything, go strolling on over to his room, you know, get the,
Did you really have to shave, though? I mean, because this is... If you're doing this as, like, a show for her, I know she's going to be like, oh, this is fake. You got some scruff going. That's not real.
I don't know. I was just...
All right. You're in the zone.
And, well, two of us, we're in the barracks. So all it takes is someone higher ranking to be walking by and see that, and now I'm in trouble.
Oh, gotcha.
So, you know, I go ahead and... I go marching over there, and apparently my privates had a name for how I knocked on the barracks doors, and they had it the Gestapo looking for Jews knock.
Oh, I thought it was called the Thundergun Express.
It was because, you know, I'd pretty much just get up there and, you know, just like, bang, 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 bang,
and you started each sentence with, show me your papers.
Yeah.
Papers.
Show me your papers. Holocaust is not funny, except all the fucking time.
Let it go.
Well, so I go ahead and do this knock, and, you know, and he almost blew it. He was overacting the fuck out of it. Because, you know, as soon as I start knocking, I hear him inside, like, oh, fuck, you know, like, ah. You know, I'm just sitting like,
I really hope this isn't a surprise inspection.
Oh, why me, Lord? Not now.
Well, which, of course, you know, so he opens up the door, and which, as him being my soldier, I have the right to do a room inspection whenever the hell I want, and can go in there and make sure it's clean, make sure he doesn't have anyone in there he's not supposed to and everything, which... was very highly hypocritical of me, because we weren't supposed to have females in there after 10, which I definitely had a female in my room.
Right, yeah.
But, whatever. So, so you know, I'm in there, and, like, bang on the door, he like, starts to crack it open, I just, like, bust it open, you know, like, what the fuck is happening here, you know, yelling, screaming, everything like that, and of course, she's naked as the day she was born, and just terrified, I'm just in there screaming and yelling, like, you know, like, what the fuck is all this, you know, all this kind of stuff, and finally, you know, I'm like, I finally look at him, like, alright, you got exactly 5 fucking minutes, I'm gonna be back, and she better be gone, and this better be fucking clean, and everything, and leave. So I do, and I come back 5 minutes later, just to make sure, do my little knock again, open up the door, she's like half-dressed, like trying to throw clothes on, like the works, and I'm like, and he's giving me these eyes, just like these, like, puppy dog, like, help, you know, like, I thought, like, just, like, help, like, she won't leave, you know, so finally, I'm like, alright, like, I'm calling the MPs, like, they're gonna cart your ass out of here, and so she lets out this, like, yelp, again, like a little puppy dog,
yeah,
and just bolts, leaves half her shit there, she had, like, 2 full bags of, like, clothes and shit.
Oh, she was planning to stay for a while.
Yeah, and leaves, like, all that shit there. So she's like,
who does she think she is, me?
Well, so she leaves and just running down, like, I don't even know where, because apparently he drove her on base.
Oh, no.
So I don't know where she's
going.
That's
the middle of fucking nowhere, by the way.
Yeah.
We drove to, like, the nearest, like, town, bar. It was, like, a 45-minute drive.
It's in the middle of fucking nowhere.
It took a while.
Yeah. Well, so, like... And she's just bolted, and like I said, she's like
this is
completely
right?
Half naked. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I mean by half naked is she has panties on, her bra is not all the way on, and that's it. And she's just running down the barracks. Well, the problem is this is a Saturday night, and so almost everyone, what they do on a Saturday night in the barracks is they prop their door open, they bring their chair out on the balcony, and they sit there and drink beer and chill out. So this girl is now giving a show to everyone in the barracks, and all the cat calls, it was ridiculous. It was pretty, I mean, kind of felt bad for the girl, but at the same time, it was hysterical. Absolutely hysterical, because she was just panicked, running, and it was like,
you gave her 5 minutes!
Right. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was funny when I was visiting you at Fort Hood, and we were, like, walking back to, like, Gates, was that his name? Gates?
Oh, I don't remember.
Alright. But, like, we were walking up to somebody's, like, room with, like, a bunch of beer and everything, and, like, I had a buzz cut at the time. We were walking by, and, like, a sergeant or whoever was walking by and was like, you guys better not be drinking beer tonight or whatever, and, like, I'm standing there like, I'm not supposed to be here right now. Everyone thought I was in the Army because I had a buzz cut.
Yep.
So I would just walk around and then, like, every once in a while, people would just be bishing at me. Like, not, like, old, like outranking people, but just, like, normal people would just be like, oh, I fucking hate the Army, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, people were giving you orders, like, you had to clean the bathroom.
No, no, not like that.
It's like, I'm not even supposed to be here.
But it was so funny because, like, I'm like, oh, no, I'm a civilian. They're like, oh my god, don't join the Army. I was like, I wasn't planning on it, I'm just visiting my friend. But, yeah, it was kind of funny, like, looking back on it, being like, it was probably a good thing I had that buzz cut, because they'd probably be like, who the fuck is this kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is he here? Who's, you know, and I'd be like, I have no place else to go. Literally, we're in the middle of nowhere, I don't have a car. It's like, oh man. Oh, but, geez. Two more stories. The scariest one, and then since we have him here...
Oh, yeah. We'll run this
Ki?
Oh, Jesus.
He was Ki?
He was Ki!
No!
Yeah!
No! Alright. So, I think right. We got him here...
We'll do a scary story, and then we'll do the palate cleanser of Ki.
Yes. That's what I'm thinking. Since we got him here... I could tell the story in another podcast.
Like, dude, it's an awesome story.
I've told everybody.
Alright, well, so a scary story. So,
yes. Out of all the blowing up, shocking, all this shit, this was the like only story he told me. I went, oh, fuck. Yeah. Like, so gross.
I'm deployed, and I get woken up in the middle of the night, and they're like, hey, XO, who's kind of like the second in command officer of the company, is like, hey, you need you to go do something. I'm like, oh, goddamn, Alex, I'm a bitch. And this is when we're in Kuwait, so I don't have to throw on the body armor and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, so I go ahead and I go outside, and I was literally pounding poles. Which, why it had to be
not
done...
Not gay sex.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what Todd does on Saturday.
Oh, God. No, but, literally just pounding these fucking poles into the sand. Why I couldn't wait till the goddamn morning, I don't know. Why it had to be like 1 o'clock in the fucking morning, I don't know. But it needed to get done, and I got chosen. So I'm out there, and I got my boots on, and my pants, and just the t-shirt part. Because normally we wear like the jacket thing on it that's actually the camo.
Yeah.
I don't have that on. My shirt's not tucked in. My boots aren't tied. Like, I'm a mess uniform-wise. Like, anyone really high-ranking would have had a heart attack if they saw me.
Yeah.
But I'm out there, and I keep having this itch, like, directly on top of my shoulder. And I keep itching it, and I'm half asleep, you know, and I'm just out there like, man, what the fuck, you know? Well, then, so, at one point, I grab my shirt, and I kind of, you know, like, flare it out, you know, like, trying to get some air.
Yeah.
Well, when I do, do you know what a camel spider is?
Fuck yeah. I've seen horrifying YouTube videos.
Yeah, well, you know how they can grow pretty big.
Yeah, I do.
Well, one of those just kind of goes like, plop, on the sand in front of me, and then starts to scurry away. Well, what happened was is it was on my chest, because it had got there for the warmth.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is at the end of their feet, I guess, there's like an acid or chemical or something that kind of like numbs you. So that's why I didn't feel it.
Oh,
but that's what was causing the itch. I was just itching too high, basically. Because it was basically dug in on the front, like right where like the collarbone is.
Oh, God. And for the audience who can't see this, he's pointing that the legs are reaching both of the ends of his shoulders to give you an idea of how big this fucking
is. And it was just up there, and it was just, I like flared the shirt out, and it was just, I felt like I was in like an old-timey movie, like, you know, like the Soundless movies, where this thing would have just like hit the ground, and then there would have been one of those, like, word cards where it's like, like, and then
what was your word card for that moment? Was it, holy fucking shit?
Yeah. I was just kind of like, because like I was still like half asleep, and so like I was just stunned, just like staring at this thing, and it was kind of looking at me, and then it scurries off, which they make the most like just this weird like noise thing as they move. It is the most unnatural shit in the world.
And if anybody doesn't know what a camel spider looks like, Google it with your phone, or just kind of picture a face hugger from Alien. They're kind of like that.
And really hairy.
And really hairy.
No, the only reason why I know how big they can fucking get and what they fucking are is the fucking autoplay on Facebook. Just because there's a, like, this big YouTube video of a camel spider eating a fucking, what is it, like a bearded lizard? So it's like, it's eating a fucking lizard.
Yeah.
And they're just like, the guy with the camera's like, yeah, let's get all these fucking angles. And I was like, can you stop? Because the nightmares will go forever.
Yes.
No, I mean, the best way to describe it is those old metal trash cans you see from, you know, like, I Love Lucy and shit.
Yeah.
The lids of those. Where Oscar lives.
Yeah, exactly. No, if you lift the lids of one of those, they can be curled up.
Oh, we're getting called out.
What? Oh. We're doing a podcast, shut up!
Don't summon him!
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you lift up one of those lids, they can be in there with their legs, like, halfway folded up. And they can take up that whole inside of the lid. They grow huge.
Yeah.
And so, for anyone listening, don't look that up, because it's literally an H.R. Geiger monster come to life. Like, it's just a fucking...
And that's why I wanted him to say that for last, because you got the shrapnel stories, you get getting shotgun, you get throwing grenades over things. So, scariest story I've ever heard is having a camel spider on your chest, not knowing it for a while.
And then, did it like, get there while you were sleeping? Mm-hmm. And, okay, so you just woke up, threw on a shirt...
No, I already had the shirt on.
Okay.
And because it was just like, I just racked out. Just untucked the shirt, just racked out, was on the cot. And then, because it was luxury, we had cots.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, got a little hit to the head, you know, just, hey, XO need you to go do this.
I was going to say, if your shirt's off, the guy who's waking you up
is a dick.
I know, right? No, but I'm going to go ahead and say he's a dick anyway.
Yeah.
Because that thing was big enough, there had to be some sort of bulge.
An outline. He's looking at you, he's like, his rib cage is really weird today.
It's very high.
Yeah, like, no.
I think it's, like, he's extra breathing. It's like, well, it's got a mind of its own.
I was cracking up because, like, when he told me that story originally, he'd be like, yeah, there would be, like, you know, gunners on like 24-hour watch, and all of a sudden you're like, machine gun fire. Like, oh, they saw a camel spider, and like,
no, it happened all the time.
Yeah,
because like it'd be at nighttime, and someone would be up there, and we have these like big old spotlight things, and they're on there in the machine gun, and all of a sudden you just hear one machine gun just start lighting everything up, just bah! And you know everyone start to panic, think we're you know getting overwhelmed or something, and it'd be like. You just hear over the radio, like, no, jackass saw a camel spider. Because they move really weird. Like, nothing about them seems natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're crazy. Well, my sister was saying, because I told her that story, too. My sister was saying, like, yeah, they're in the desert, so they're just, like, trying to, like, get in cover. So, like, they'll see your shadow and try to, like, just get in your shadow. But it's like they're just chasing you because you're obviously running away from it, but it's just trying to get in your shadow. And you're like, oh, good God.
Oh, Jesus.
God,
that is terrifying.
And then my good friend John learned karate. The good old karate.
This is a great story because our last episode... is called Party Stories.
Yes.
So this is at least a nice little tie-in to that, too.
Yes.
Oh, man, because
which
I love
this story.
Which is
funny, because the weekend was, like, Friday and Saturday, we were like, all right, let's go. We were single at the time, so it's like, let's go out and get laid and everything. And, like, we just kept going to bars where there was, like, nobody there. It was, like, one of those things, like, what is happening? Where is everybody? Yeah. Like, what the heck is going on? And then, like, he left... back to Fort Lewis, and then like I went home, and then randomly got like a text from this chick I knew, being like, "Hey, I'm in town. You want to hang out?" And I was like, "Sweet." And then he texted me that later. I'm like, "No way. We both got laid like separately." And then he's like, "Yeah, but I gotta tell you, I won the bet, and the bet at the time was which was kind of a joke. It was when you're." With a woman, and and you're having sex. Right when you're about to come, you yell, "Kiai!" when you do that, and that was like the gentleman's bet, which it's so funny because it's like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. Okay. And then you have sex, you get in the moment, and you come. That's the last thing on your mind is like, oh right, there's this one joke I gotta do. It's like the last thing. She's like, I won the bet, and I'm like, holy shit, that's awesome. He's like texting me this, and he's like, yeah, I mean, like, well, like, what happened? You're like, I'll tell you in person on Friday, which is like 5 days. I'm like, all right, cool. So this is the story he tells me.
I love to hear the actual side.
Yeah, well, that's why he's only heard me tell. All right,
so, because I got called back, I had to deal with some shithead. I'm hanging over at my buddy's house, and I get absolutely plastered. I mean, I am. There is not a level to describe how drunk I am.
Well, you told me you drank half a gallon to yourself and then went to the bars.
Yes. And so
we'll set the peg of starting point there.
We're trying
to quantify it. We'll start there. We'll Sherlock Holmes our way to the
actual. We started at more than I've ever drank before and then going out. Yeah.
I'm alcohol and I'm destroying my family. Yeah. So, but we'll settle then. Well, then I go to the bars, and it is plural.
Yeah.
I end up meeting this broad, and I'm going home with the girl. Mm-hmm. we're sitting there, and we get all undressed, everything. You know, she gives me a little head, and then she, like, lays back. Mm-hmm. You know, ready. Time to go, right?
Which, by the way, how he got hard enough to get head is beyond me, because, like, that, I...
Hey, I'm a professional alcoholic, sir. Yeah,
come on. Like, with that much alcohol, that is impressive.
Hey, I am a professional alcoholic.
Yeah.
I was about to say, it's like, are you outing him for having ED right now? Like, what is
it? No, I'm just
So, it's time to go, right?
Yeah.
And then in the back, the depths of my drunk-ass mind, comes this gentleman's bet. And I get kind of competitive when I'm wasted. I'm sitting there, I'm like, I need to win.
And confused, apparently.
Yeah, and I was drunk. Like, I was wasted. And so, I look at this girl, and I can only imagine. I must have looked like probably a mixture of in deep thought and, like, constipated or something. Because she gives me this weirdest look back, because I'm just, like, staring at her. And then I go, "Kiyo!" and karate chop her vagina. And then bail.
Well, my favorite thing is you were telling this story to somebody else because I forgot my reaction. I thought I'd just laugh, but like, no, the best part was I went, karate chopped her vagina. You looked to the skies and went, "You idiot." I'm like, because I'm feeling like, that wasn't the bet. What? Why? Karate chopping vaginas is not a part of the bet at all. What is wrong with you? And at the time, because you were like in the army, you were like in some ridiculously long dry spell, and that's why I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Oh, God. I was the killer of my own dreams. Oh man!
Yeah, because I remember after I said that, I was like, okay, first, greatest story I've ever heard. Second, what were you thinking? is the Kiai story. Because that was my thing. I'm like, what'd she do? Like, how did she react? Like, I don't know. I grabbed my clothes and left. I'm like, what the fuck?
Whoever you were in, I don't know. I don't even know what town I was in. I'm sorry.
So, and he won the bet that had no money or prizes or anything.
If by any chance of any miracle that she is listening to this episode, I need her to reach out in any means.
Yes, because I would love to hear her side of the story.
Oh,
that's the best part. Because I have my own thing where it's like, yeah, it's like the whole like like, oh, we're about to, like, oh, come over here, like, I'm on my back, I'm naked, I'm ready, and then, like, you're, like, standing over there, and I can just see you just all of a sudden go from, like, oh, yeah, here it comes, to, wait a minute, just, oh, God!
Well, that is a hell of a way to end an episode.
Yeah, I love it.
So what did we figure out today, man? We always discuss at the end what we figured out, right, just as kind of a thing.
Well, John, so, what did you figure out?
Yeah, did our guest figure out anything?
I'm an idiot.
Yep.
There you go.
You're an idiot.
I figured out that camel spiders are the most terrifying thing about going to joining the industry. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yep.
That would be the fucking worst of all of it. Like,
yeah, John went through the ringer, man. The only other thing I can think of more terrifying than a camel spider is getting your dick cut off by shrapnel.
Yeah.
Which almost happened to you, too.
Now you just need some movie to have a character. There's gotta be a movie with the same actor who played the guy who almost lost his dick, who also finds a camel spider under his shirt. You're like, who is this guy? He's amazing.
I need to write him.
He just pictures the walking back, Joy. Hey, man, you alright? No, man. No.
Alright. Well, yeah, is there anything that you need to promote? You got a show coming up that you need to talk about?
June 3rd at the High Dive. I am playing with Hexen Guys, Damn Pilots, and The Mentors.
Nice. June 3rd. Check out that show. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, it's going
to
be good.
You wouldn't have a Twitter or anything that you would want people to find out about, right?
No, I don't even have a Twitter.
Oh, okay. You kept on posting all sorts of military secrets that you shouldn't have been.
Pentagon came and knocked it.
He's a ninja. He lives in the shadows. He ki-eyes vaginas. He does not have a Twitter.
Ki-eye?
Oh my god.
I left the army to pursue my passion of ki-eye!
Again, everyone, thank you for listening, and we really hope you enjoyed the show. Please leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Follow me at Doc Von Derwin on Twitter. Follow Ben Still at BennyStills13 on Twitter. We really want to know what you guys think so that we can keep on creating a better show for you and have some really cool content down the line. We really enjoy doing it, and we just want to keep on doing it because we have a lot of fun, and we hope that you guys do too. Thank you, and have a great night.